Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, and Right Fit Sports Wellness. We've got a great doubleheader today, Steve Cashel. He is a longtime Chicago Bulls announcer. He's the host of The Golf Scene. He's the co-host of the popular ESPN Radio Sports Medicine Weekly. He returns along with his co-host of Sports Medicine Weekly, Dr. Brian Cole. He is the Chicago Bulls and White Sox team orthopedic surgeon. And the Sports Doctor's in some emails. Steve Cashel, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
How are you, Dr. Bob?
Great to have you back. Everybody, you know, Steve is a two-time Emmy Award winner as the host of all things Chicago Bulls. Steve, how long have you been doing announcing with the Bulls?
24 years.
Wow.
Yep.
That's really
started back during the Jordan era and did TV with Norm Van Leer for the first 6 years on Sports Channel, and all the rest has been on radio, working with different teams, Neil Funk and John Paxson, and of course Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington. So really been enjoyable. Saw our ups and downs, but that Jordan era was really exceptional.
Oh, well, you know, trying to match that is, you know, like two needles in 20 haystacks when you started out with that kind of vibe. You guys were rock stars, you know, like everywhere you went. And it's amazing to try to compare. How long have you done the golf scene?
The golf scene we've done for 28 years. Started that back in 1993 when I was working with the Bulls on Sports Channel and anchoring their shows. And had a golf producer there, a guy that loved golf, and he was producing our shows. Said, why don't we do a Chicago-based golf show? And we said, why not? And to this day, we've kept it on every single year. And, you know, it's gone from Sports Channel to Fox Sportsnet because the station has changed, then to Comcast Sportsnet, and now it's on NBC Sports Chicago, same station as the Bulls, White Sox, and Blackhawks. And we hit about 7 million homes throughout the entire state of Illinois, parts of Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa. And so I'm quite proud of that show, and it's been a lot of fun, and I love golf, so it fits right all along with my temperature of things to do.
I'll tell you, you let me know. We'll talk golf shoes on one of your future shows with my sports doctors in scene, you know, for sure. I understand, Steve, I see. You're a big-time sports dad also, aren't you?
Yes. Well, I've got two boys, 17 and 14, that have absolutely ruled my world. And my wife Cindy and I are very proud of them. And, you never know how kids are going to take to sports and what's going to be their desire. But I'm very fortunate. My 17-year-old son, Corey, plays AAA hockey. He played baseball in high school back freshman year and football up until eighth grade, but got into hockey and is now at the AAA level. And he plays for the Des Moines Bucks out in Des Moines, Iowa, and just started the season, billeting with a family out there for his senior year in high school. And then my younger son, Troy, big athlete as well. He's already playing freshman football at Naperville Central, also be on the baseball team and the basketball team. He also loves golf. So I'm very fortunate to live vicariously through them, Dr. Bob.
I'll tell you, you know, that's why I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Steve, which is these challenges, again, whether you have a son or daughter who goes out of town at those kinds of levels and that kind of excitement. You have somebody else in the high school, all of these different levels. You know, one of the huge topics on the Sports Doctor for longer than you guys have been on, is youth sports safety and the challenges of everything from the ranting, raving parents to, we don't have to talk about the overzealous coaches. I call them Svengali coaches, because there's such tremendous overkill for even youth sports. Of course, we're going to talk with your co-host, Dr. Brian Cole, about where, you know, if you turn around, there's Tommy John surgery in 14-year-olds because of all of this tremendous pressure to play and overuse. So with all the joys of sports parenting, there's still a big-time concerns with all of these challenges. How's your family doing?
Doing great. You know, yeah, there are, you know, coaches are different. Most of our dad coaches now are finally getting into the levels where they're paid coaches. A little better, but you know, you appreciate the time that these dad coaches put into it. We've experienced all types of parents, you know, and I'm telling you, even on my own experience, Dr. Bob, I get emotional, you know, during these games. I mean, it's funny how we laugh now, always with the first one too, you know, the first T-ball game and the first coach pitch game and the first, you know, 7-year-old football game. You think it's the Super Bowl, and then when you have the second kid, you're like, oh, I've been there. And I could settle down a little bit because it doesn't mean that much. Let's make sure the kids get healthy. That's what I pray for. They stay healthy during the games, come away injury-free, and maybe learn a lesson or two and develop and improve. And that's what the big thing is. But, yeah, the parents, you can see the hockey moms, the hockey dads are crazy, you know, in a way. Some are reserved, but boy, they'll be yelling at each other if you let them. And, you know, we've seen it on all levels. So the parents can get a little out of hand. I have myself, so I'm guilty of that. But I think at the end of the day, and it's what your show's all about, is that we want to see the kids develop and be healthy and come out injury-free. And when there is an injury, let's overcome it and let's figure out preventative measures to keep them injury-free and to make sure that they suffer an injury mentally and physically, they come out 100%. That's what's important.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest challenges. You know, overuse injuries, absolutely, not only is it physically, but it's absolutely mentally with the pressures with these kids, half of them living on over-the-counter pain medicines because of the pressure to play, stay in the game. You know, LeBron James had a great statement. He was in the stands with his mother rooting for his son, and he was talking about where his mother said, LeBron, sit down already, will you? And he was talking about that same thing. I didn't realize I was so overzealous, you know, and those kinds of things. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor, Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back years, see who was on, what were the topics, international, national, local guests. All different areas. We have a lot of information with our 50,000 followers on LinkedIn and Twitter. Great info for parents, coaches, as well as athletes themselves. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and LinkedIn, all sorts of different topics. At Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we're talking with Steve Cashel. He's the 2-time Emmy Award winning TV radio broadcaster for years here in the Chicago area. Steve, tell us about Sports Medicine Weekly. Aren't you guys celebrating your 11th year?
We are, Dr. Bob. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Interesting story how we got started, really. You know, I was doing halftime shows with the Chicago Bulls, and from time to time I'd need a guest, and I request the help of Dr. Brian Cole, the head Bulls team physician. And so I have him on for quite often for pregame shows, but especially my Bulls halftime shows. And then we developed quite a chemistry, we both thought. And so one day he came up to me after a couple years of doing that, and he said, boy, you know what, I'd love to do a sports medicine radio show of some sort. And he goes, I'd like you to host it, Steve. And I said, boy, that would be tremendous. You know, we feel like we work well together. And Dr. Cole is brilliant, in my opinion, orthopedic surgeon for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush. You're going to be talking with him shortly here, but one of the best surgeons in the world and so well connected, always has great contacts for guests. And you know, he's a busy guy. I mean, he'll do, I think, 2,000, you know, ACL surgeries a year. and just coming up with new things in science and technology.
One of the goals is cutting those injuries in half. Yes, he just did surgery on one of my good friend's sons. He reconstructed my good buddy's shoulder a few years ago. Absolutely. You know, when we're talking about some of these injuries and the necessity, especially at the professional level where the pressure is crazy. Doc, can you get me better yesterday? You know?
Yeah.
Now, I've been, how long ago was I on the show? I was a guest with you guys. It's got to be a good 3-4 years ago. I think when we were trading radio shows.
Yes, I think it was. You know, we started, Dr. Bob, on ESPN 1000, and we did that for about 6 years. And then when the Bulls moved over to WSCR, the Score, 670 a.m. in Chicago, we kind of moved with it just because I was, you know, kind of a member of the Score then, and it made sense, and the Score wanted our show. So we did that. And then in the past year, we developed a podcast because we were taping our shows and turning them into podcasts, and we decided to take it off the radio, and because we were getting some big hits on the podcast, and a little easier when you can control that and just do it out of your home then, instead of, you know, for me driving to Naperville downtown.
Exactly.
You sit there
in your shorts and a t-shirt and doing your podcast. How do people find out more about everything you do, Steve? What's the best site or information for people to go to find out the 8 different things you're involved in? Or specifically, let's start with Sports Medicine Weekly. Where do they go to access the podcast?
The podcast can be accessed on the Sports Medicine Weekly website. It's sportsmedicineweekly.com. Once again, sportsmedicineweekly.com, and all the information is there. And you can download the podcast on Apple and Spotify and wherever people listen to their audio or their podcast. So we're quite excited about it. We tape a show usually once a week, once every 2 weeks, and it's a little different in radio because we have more time now. You know, the old time with radio, we'd have to, you know, do an interview within 8 to 10 minutes, and now if we really want to have a nice topic on, a nice subject, a nice interview, we could do that for 20-22 minutes and really explore some things. So you know, commercial free too. So it works out better for us, and we're excited about it, and I appreciate you asking me about it.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, a week doesn't go by, a day doesn't go by, where there isn't some big story involving some injury, other challenges in the world of professional sports. As we've watched, you know, over these decades, these athletes get bigger, faster, stronger, and the incredible power of some of these players. Like when we talk about the golf scene, when you first started that show, Steve, you ever thought you'd see guys 6'3", 6'5", 235 pounds hitting the ball a million miles?
Yeah, I know, yes. Like Bryson DeChambeau and, you know, averaging 335 off the tee on the PGA Tour. Unbelievable. I think, Dr. Bob, we started, you know, 28 years ago, what the average drive on the PGA Tour was probably 280 yards. That was maybe not the average, that was a really good drive. You know, guys weren't hitting at 300. And then slowly gets to 300, and yeah, weightlifting takes over.
It's amazing, yes. And this is why gradually sports, and especially at the professional level, they have to be smart. They have to pay big attention to rules. I mean, take a look at the metamorphosis of concussion awareness, concussion education, what a big deal this has been. You know, talking about the size of some of these athletes, and here's my pearl for you as a sports parent with a son in hockey. Custom orthotics will be 2 steps quicker with better edging and better stability. That's my pearl.
Is that right,
for you, Steven? Oh, yeah. I've been putting orthotics in to say Doug Wilson, the late Keith Magnuson, John Marks over the years with the Blackhawks. And as you know, my poster boy in the Naperville area where you live, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, figure skater Evan Lysacek. He was 10 years old, Steve, when we put orthotics in his skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old hotshot skates. Optimum stability, alignment, usually ignored unless the skater has foot trouble. Otherwise, it's usually ignored. But that's my pearl for you as a hockey. you know, I had my friend a couple of weeks ago, J.V. Stanley's been involved in youth hockey at the national, international level with his balanced excellence for many, many years. That's quite a group. But the size of the hockey players, again, thinking back, John Marks was huge, they thought, you know, 240 pounds, 6'2". Now he mixes right in with so many of these guys. So the size of the hockey players has been dramatically increased.
Oh, I agree. I agree totally. I want to go back to the orthotics. So is that an easy process to get fit and everything?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely an easy process, especially if you come to yours truly. So, yes, definitely we'll talk about that. But like everything else, Stephen, we're interested in two things, being part of the educational world, whether it's Sports Medicine Weekly, whether it's the Sports Doctor. The only two things anybody cares about. Number one, can we prevent injuries? Can we stay out of trouble? And number two, when indicated, can we enhance performance? Can we be a step or two quicker? Can we be more explosive? Can we have better balance and stability? All of these things are a big part of educating coaches and parents as, again, we see the explosion of youth sports and everything that goes with it. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later. We'll talk with your colleagues. But for now, Steve Cashel, I knew at the time, flew. Give us the website again. They can check out everything you do.
SportsMedicineWeekly.com.
Wow. Steve Cashel, thanks so much. Hold on, Steve. Going to be right back with his co-host, Dr. Cole. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. You live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back Dr. Brian Cole. He is the Chicago Bulls and Chicago White Sox team orthopedic surgeon. Dr. Cole, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's great to be back.
I'll tell you, man, with your co-host, Steve Cashel, we almost ran into your time, Dr. Brian. You know, it was great, man. We talk about so many great things. Give us a little bit of background on yourself and how long you've been with the Bulls and the White Sox.
So I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I specialize in sports medicine, principally shoulder, elbow, and knee. And most of my life is basically taking care of otherwise generally active patients who have problems associated with those joints. But I've had the privilege of being the team physician for the Chicago Bulls for about 17 years, and then the co-team physician for the Chicago White Sox. Nick Firm is the head team physician for the White Sox, and we collaborate just given the number of responsibilities and requirements of being a team physician. This requires a virtual army, not just a single individual. So we're very fortunate to have a number of people at Midwest Orthopedics that can help shoulder the load.
You know, it's interesting. Not only the pros, you helped one of my friend's young son last week, helping him with surgically with his knee. You replaced my buddy's shoulder a few years ago. You know, I usually send you a note, hey, Dr. Brian, some TLC. So, you know, they're not all pros, but I wanted to ask you about the incredible challenges when you're dealing with professional athletes at those kinds of levels. I know you have team psychologists all over the place, but at the same time, when you're the team doctor, I got to ask you how your sports psychology skills are at the same time.
You know, I'll tell you, when I was an undergraduate, I actually majored both in biology and psychology and have had a fair background in sports psychology as well. And I think what you're alluding to is that's as important of a role as anything. You know, surgery is, you know, what surgeons do, but I would confess that's probably the smallest role in my day-to-day life. And it's mostly managing sports injury and then the issue of what happens to an athlete when they're taken out of play and they can't participate in their craft. And I think the psychological aspect can't be underestimated, but it obviously has, you know, other intangibles and tangibles. There's a huge economic impact. There are issues pertaining to strategy, to roster changes, to, you know, where we are in the season that all play into it. But the bottom line is that we have an ethical and medical responsibility to treat all of our athletes as any other patient. So when patients say, well, you only take care of professional athletes, no, that's not true. Obviously, we take care of regular people who are active more frequently than professional athletes. But similarly, when we have a professional athlete who is injured in any capacity, they're treated just like everybody else. There's never an opportunity, or should there be the wherewithal to be a fan in this situation. You treat these injuries just like any other injury that comes in on any given Monday. And it requires education, requires compassion and patience. But there is an added sensitivity that's needed because they are part of an organization and there are timelines which become very important. And then there's strategic decisions that are based upon how long an athlete might be out of play. But it's one of those issues that I think requires the development of trust, and trust happens over the long haul. I think that over the last 15 years, it's gotten easier, not harder, mainly because I guess as I get older and these guys get younger, it's, you know, there's more of a disparity in this physician-patient relationship. In the beginning, when I was younger, and these guys weren't that much younger than me, and some of the athletes were in their 30s even, who are these career players. But now there's a larger disparity, and they're coming in at my children's age, if you will. And the psychology aspect is important, but it's really the fundamentals, just like you do, just taking care of a patient every single day. Those fundamentals are really no different.
No, it's interesting. One of my frequent guests contributed to my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Rob Andrews, mental training with the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Texas. He's worked with the Olympic team. He's got a wall of gold medals from his gymnasts. And one of his big-time specialties, Dr. Cole, is dealing with these athletes, again, mentally, with the, am I ever going to come back? You know, how long is it going to take? All of these kinds of things. So it's amazing, you know, what a big component, you know, the that mental capacity or challenge happens to be. And there's also this millions of dollars floating around when you're dealing with professional teams and professional athletes. And that definitely adds to the concern. You know, the longtime trainer of the Chicago White Sox, Herm Schneider, when I was putting orthotics in the Eric Sada homes and some of these other, Chet Webman, I don't want to date myself, Dr. Cole, like in the late 70s and early 80s. And I remember Herm helped rehabilitate, gosh, Bo Jackson after he had that hip replacement. But again, that whole side of how much time we're going to be out and the pressure from everybody around, got to make a big decision. And I guess though, now that some of these athletes are your kids' age, they're just excited to meet you and very glad that, hey, that the team doctor, the Bulls and White Sox, is doing my surgery. It's hard to get better than that, you know?
Well, no, I appreciate you saying that. But I think the thing that becomes most important is just having years of experience and having seen so many different permutations of injury and recovery. And I would say that I borrow from my experience on a pretty regular basis to be able to provide comfort to patients, including athletes, to say, look, this is what typically happens. This is what you can expect. This is how long. I mean, we have data now that's so granular, just given some of the big data acquisition that we have throughout our organizations. We can tell a player statistically how likely it is that it will take X amount of time to get back to a skill level. So if it's a pitcher, we know now how many months. It's not just about returning safely. That's the primary emphasis. But there's also the re-athleticization that has to happen to get an athlete back to play. And as you mentioned, sometimes it's a psychological component. It's a confidence issue. So someone recovering from an ACL injury, there's often this intrinsic fear of recurrent injury and re-tear of their ACL. And that hurdle can be quite substantial in some people, and we've seen it in various sports. Then there's the issue of determining objectively, are they really ready to get back? And if we mitigated or eliminated some of the risk factors that might lead to re-injury. So there's the general, hey, how long does it take to heal? And those phases are pretty early. You know, you could do a Tommy John on a baseball pitcher. We know by 12 weeks that ligament is about 70% of the strength that you need. By 16 weeks, it's probably coming on 85-90%. But we know we can't just get them out there to throw it with a high velocity, right? Because they haven't reconditioned shoulder, their trunk, their core, all the other things that are important in getting that athlete back to play and getting back to play at a high level, the level they were accustomed to being at prior to their injury. So it is a really multidisciplinary approach, but it involves first determining what they can do early on, keeping them athleticized as possible, if you will, where they don't decondition. And then the last thing to come back and the last thing to get released for is the injury that they've initially managed. So the art, I think, comes in understanding what happens statistically, but also keeping the athlete as well-tuned as possible as they rehab, with the last remaining factor being the most vulnerable factor. But we'd like to overlap and put these things in sequence, in parallel, not in series. So you have to be mindful of the entire body in terms of conditioning when you're getting it back.
Yeah, that I think is something I've watched over the decades being involved in the sports doctor. Going, gosh, back in the late 70s, early 80s, Bob Guider, the famous sports therapist who saw so many athletes from the Chicago area, international area, talking about the mandatory necessity of strengthening the whole athlete, all of the peripheral areas, when it came to rehabilitating a surgical area. And back then it was kind of revolutionary when it was, the thought was fix the area that's injured as best you can and then try to come back as fast as you can, and realizing what a big, you know, mistake it was. It's amazing the attention on the team doctor's team when it comes to these professional and serious teams, Dr. Cole, where you have nutrition and, again, psychology and all of the different expertises, chiropractic, et cetera. You have quite a team involved when you're dealing with the professionals, don't you?
Yeah, and that's what I alluded to in the outset of our interview, and that's that it takes a virtual army to manage this. And I would never profess to have all of those areas of expertise, you know, adequately covered. But I've had to learn a lot about nutrition, a lot about recovery, the role of sleep, the role of cold therapy and heat therapy when it's proper. Protein supplementation, general supplementation, and all of the things that go into sort of injury repair, which, you know, that's why I always say the surgery is the smallest part of it, but it's actually understanding how to address the entire system. And that's multidisciplinary. It has the surgery or correcting a ligament or a cartilage problem or a rotator cuff problem or labral problem. Those are just very specific anatomic aspects, but we treat patients, we treat people, within their systems, and it's so much beyond just having the specific injury that we're actually actively treating them for.
You know, one of the biggest challenges, I had one of your colleagues on a couple of times, the team doc of the New York Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad, talking about baseball, talking about the arm problems with some of the pitchers, and talking about the incredible epidemic of Tommy John surgery on teenagers. It's amazing how wherever it is on the athlete's body, the youth explosion of sports and these tremendous pressures with these kids playing too much, being overscheduled, et cetera. Talk a little bit about how your experience as a team doctor has really affected some of your opinions regarding the safety of youth sports?
You know, we've learned a lot, and there's been tremendous focus, for example, on pitch counts and the role of fatigue when it comes to this virtual epidemic of the Tommy John problem or the omoplatyl ligament problem. But it is really, it's a much deeper issue. One of the challenges with our young people is that while they're respecting pitch counts and recovery times and cycling in at proper and out of, you know, the lineup at proper times, they're often playing in two different leagues simultaneously. And when we say taking time off from a sport,
right,
that's not just, you know, 2 weeks. We actually say an athlete should be about 2 months a year or more away from that sport. The other issue that we've
made your
is
point.
That,
we're going to touch more on that.
Yeah.
Dr. Brian
yeah.
Cole, team doctor of the Bulls and White Sox. We're going to be right back with another segment. Hold on, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. We are talking with the team doctor of the Chicago Bulls, Chicago White Sox, Dr. Brian Cole. We were touching on some of the challenges in youth sports relating at all levels, younger and younger, faster, bigger, stronger. You know, ACL, the knee problems, it's still 5 or 6 to 1, correct me if I'm wrong, in girls, females to males with these ACL tears. I've been screaming for 30 years, give or take a few weeks, about the dramatic anatomical component, which is why we've added orthotics in so many instances with these girls, and I'm still yelling to an empty choir sometimes. How's it going besides all the surgical advances in the ACLs and the girls and boys as you see it?
Well, much like, you know, we in our last episode, we talked a bit about this emergence of an epidemic and Tommy John problems. We've seen the same thing with ACL injuries, and there's a lot we've learned. There still is that disproportion of females over males based upon anatomic considerations. We know that women tend to have, tend to be more knock-kneed. They tend to jump and land with lower flexion angles of the hip and the knee. They often have significant core and glute medius weakness. They often have very strong quads and weak hamstrings. All of those features have been associated with a higher risk for ACL injury. And even more importantly, when we're rehabbing them after ACL reconstruction, those things have to be corrected because it leads to the potential for a re-injury. So we've made a lot of progress in ACL prevention by identifying these risk factors. Might be mindful that these risk factors are also present in men, but women tend to have anatomic differences that do lead to a higher propensity of ACL injury. We've had a number of anatomic advances in ACL reconstruction. Through clinical study and both basic science study, we've learned where the anatomic location is most appropriate to place the ACL. We've learned about timing of surgery, timing of recovery, and even the role of nutrition in facilitating reduced infection rates, reduced chance of muscle atrophy, and even speeding up recovery. So it's again, like anything else, we've identified deficiencies in our knowledge and gone to the laboratory, come back in the clinic, and I think we're actually doing a better job.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Brian. Over the years and decades, there used to be the rationale that, well, you know, the girls aren't as strong as the boys. You know, the girls haven't played the sports as long as the boys. You know, the girls aren't as serious as athletes as the boys. You know, that stuff is like myths from a million years ago. These girls are every bit as talented, strong, and quick in so many ways. You know, but I believe the hormonal differences that allow these girls to be slightly more flexible, a little bit more loose jointed, so to speak, and the pronated foot and lower leg internal torsion, I think, is such a big deal, which is why for all of these years, we've tried to include foot mechanics as a major key. Usually it's missed if the feet don't hurt when we're talking about some of these other aspects, you know, prevention. Isn't it amazing the recovery time with the surgical techniques that have become so much shorter? I used to think they were starting to get scary, or maybe these athletes are coming back too soon. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a variety of, you know, new literature in this area, and some would say that the retail rates are lower when people take a year to come back or more. But I would argue it's probably less about that than the quality of the rehabilitation and introducing all the things that are modifiable, including orthotics, during their recovery. So we become very objective in terms of how we return someone back to sport. When I first came into practice, we would say, okay, show me a range of motion. Let me feel your quads. Let me see you do a single leg activity and watch your hips and so forth to see if you regain core stability. And that was really rudimentary and not particularly objective or academic for that matter. Now we do some very high level video analyses starting about four and a half months. And we can say, look, these are where your side to side differences are. And I can comfortably get an athlete back at 6 months, not a year, as long as they've corrected their side to side differences. Yes. So the ligament is clearly strong enough, generally speaking, at or beyond 6 months, but it's all about why they tore their ACL to begin with that we're trying to correct during that ACL recovery phase so that we're not inadvertently putting them at risk for re-injury.
Yes, this is a major concern. You know, I was just talking, you know, again with your co-host, Steve. You guys are celebrating like 11 years together. Talk a little bit about some of your enthusiasm, excitement, goals regarding your Sports Medicine Weekly podcast.
You know, much like you, we cover a lot of different topics on Sports Medicine Weekly. We were for 7 or 8 years with ESPN. And then we shifted over to the Score, and we really discovered that a podcast is far easier to distribute to larger numbers of people, and we can control the message, and we can do it more frequently. And now Steve and I, you know, are taping a Sports Medicine Weekly podcast. These episodes are on Spotify and Apple and anywhere where you would normally tune into your podcast. And we also have a daily blog that goes out on health tips related to nutrition and recovery and training. and injury prevention and cover specific, you know, really high level topics. You know, what's the role of CBD in recovery and pain relief? What's the importance of sleep? Why would you consider protein supplementation? How do we reduce the chance of a Tommy John problem or an ACL injury? And I'm most proud of the people that we reach that we can provide to the lay public, those who are interested in injury prevention, recovery, and optimizing their performance. You know, I think very useful, credible information. This doesn't all come from me personally. We scour the what's available in the literature, what our research has shown, and what others have shown, very competent, successful researchers, and try to put it in a format that's easy to digest and can be done quickly. So your listeners, if they're interested, I would certainly encourage them to go to our website, sportsmedicineweekly.com. Because if they subscribe, there are, you know, the only thing we send out to our subscribers is a daily blog or an every other day blog that has some of these tips. And then, as I mentioned, we have our weekly podcast that where we're working with professional athletes and Olympic athletes and individuals who deal with strength and conditioning, and, you know, really try to provide something of value, much like you do, for those who are willing to tune into an episode on some regular basis. The other thing is that, you know, all of our net proceeds go to support orthopedic research. And I've been very fortunate to be at Rush for nearly 25 years, where we have a robust sports medicine research program. And the net proceeds go to support young investigators, clinical scientists, the stipends for doing their work, as well as for materials required to do some of the basic science and clinical work that we do that gets published, you know, to the tune of about 50 to 60 publications a year that come out of our lab.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Cole, the two things everybody cares about, whether you're the coach, whether you're the parent, whether you're the superstar, whether you're the young boy or girl growing up to play, the two big deals. Number one, can we prevent injuries? Can we stay out of trouble? And number two, when indicated, can we enhance performance? Can we be a step or two quicker? Can we have better balance? Can we be more explosive? And it's amazing how, regardless of the level of the athlete, those two things are what everybody cares about. And now that we've seen, again, that important mental ingredient added big time, it's been such a thing. How has the challenge of COVID been hanging over your head also with the pro teams?
Oh, that's, that's
another
been a
topic.
Tremendous. Yeah, that's a, I mean, in short, I had to find hours I never thought I had. I never thought I would learn some of the things that I had to learn about epidemiology and disease transmission protection and obviously vaccination. And we're still not out of it yet. I mean, we're still on a weekly basis. We have calls with the NBA discussing our upcoming protocols. We're still going to have to do some testing. Many are
Dr.
vaccinated.
Brian, with fans in the stands by the thousands, I got all my fingers crossed. How about you?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, thankfully in Illinois anyway and Cook County, we've done a really good job with vaccination, but still
yes.
we're seeing breakthrough infections. Fortunately, generally mild. When we look at our hospital numbers, those who are hospitals tend to be the unvaccinated. So it still is largely a problem in the unvaccinated, but it is a problem of the vaccinated as well. So we're not going to get there until enough people have either had the disease over a recent time frame and or those who are vaccinated. So we're still struggling even in professional sports, people not being fully vaccinated. And they
yeah.
have to go through different protocols.
This is, again, the information, again, like with give us again, Dr. Brian Cole, the team doctor, the Bulls, the White Sox. Dr. Cole, give us again the site for Sports Medicine Weekly.
Thanks. SportsMedicineWeekly.com. Pretty straightforward.
SportsMedicineWeekly.com, Dr. Brian Cole. I'm hoping to join you guys sometime in the future. We like trading radio shows.
We'd love
Brian,
to have you on.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks. Hold on, Brian. We'll be right back, everybody. It's Sports Doc. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com, Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. SchoolUniforms.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We are back. It's the Sports Doctor. Sports Doctor's in segment. We talk about some upcoming shows. We have some dynamite guests. Today is a great example of another great show. Coming up next week, he pitched for the Yankees and Cardinals. His pitching coach was Whitey Ford. He's written a dozen books. Got a new one coming out. He's co-authoring Head Games. Lou Vickery hosted the Lou Vickery, Lou in the Morning radio show in the Florida, Alabama area for years. I was honored to be a once-a-month guest. We had a Sports Doctors In segment. And he's got his co-author, the famous coach, Sonny Smith of Auburn fame, to discuss their new book. So we're excited about that upcoming show the following week. We're going to really jump on the youth sports world. We've got the communications director of the National Alliance of Youth Sports, Greg Bach, returning. And also returning, Rich Dubin. He is the publisher of Lower Extremity Review magazine and the new exciting quarterly that I'm such a big part of, MVP Parent Magazine. Great shows coming up. By the way, everybody, if you want to submit an email that we could feature, drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go back to radio shows, listen to whatever you would like, topics over the years, so many different great guests. You jump over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read an endless array of expertise in so many different areas, from concussions to what's the best shoe, to my very popular article, Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. Can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and LinkedIn. We have over 40,000 followers. At Sports Doc, DOC Radio, is our Twitter feed. Some emails. Paul says, my 13-year-old daughter is a serious tennis player. She's been playing since she's 6 years old. She's had problematic Achilles tendonitis on and off. We've been through various physical therapy. You know, Paul, pay big attention to the foot mechanics. Include podiatry. I can't tell you how many success stories we've had with proper custom orthotics when this has been one of the problems. We got to check and see what her foot mechanics. Does she have high arches? Does she have pronated feet? What's causing excessive strain on the Achilles? And the good news is when you combine proper custom orthotics with the right shoe, along with the rehab she's doing, you'll get rid of the problem. So pay big attention to including see podiatry, ideally sports podiatry. Have them consult with you. Steve says, my 15-year-old daughter is a very active basketball player. She's played since middle school. She's been diagnosed for the past couple of years almost with Osgood-Schlatter. You know, Steve, Osgood-Schlatter is a growth syndrome. When the kneecap, the tela tendon, gets overstretched because the bones are growing faster than the soft tissue and we start pulling on the attachment of the kneecap tendon to the tibia, or shin bone. Sometimes we'll see a bump on the shin, which is inflamed area. We've had great success besides intelligent rest involving activity, physical therapy. We've had great success with adding orthotics to the mix to control any excessive rotational pull on that attachment, even with foot types that aren't problematic. So this is something you want to look at with your physical therapist and or physician if you see the problem is persistent. And again, basketball, there's so much explosive running. There's a lot of jumping. And again, knee problems are common to begin with. So pay attention to including podiatry. Is she in the right shoe? For her particular foot type is another major key. But we've had great success over the decades when, as a sports podiatrist, I would be adding custom orthotics to the overall treatment plan. Perry said in your book, hashtag a sports parent, you make a big deal about the two essential exercises. I do, Perry. The two essential exercise systems, they're not individual exercises, are strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. I don't care what your sport is, what your level is, strengthen your feet and ankles. Ankles, again, still the most common injury. So strengthen those areas for speed, balance, stability, and work balance. Do what I call instability training. Stand on mini trampolines. Balance on tilt boards. Work with the innovative sand dune stepper. My famous sports therapist colleague, Bob Guida, every athlete he saw from John McEnroe to Jim McMahon to Walter Payton, the list is endless. He would be including what he called instability training. His premise was getting the body to counteract imbalance. Strengthens everything. Ironically, besides sports, this is one of the key exercises for senior citizens to try to prevent falling. Working on balance, standing on one foot at a time, again, standing on unstable surfaces. And this is something that I talk about in that chapter. Include these exercises in your regimen, regardless of what sport you play, regardless of what your son or daughter's age is or what your age is or what your level is. That doesn't mean replace other exercises for different parts of the body. We talk about that a lot in the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where I have one of my longtime colleagues who worked with Bob Guida. She was a great gymnast. She was one of our great orthotic stories, Missy Orth, who now trains champions in the world of golf as well as other sports. And she would, again, we'd always make a big deal about working on balance and stability to strengthen all the areas. If we put sensors on your whole body and we put you on a mini tram, standing and balancing, every muscle in your body would light up. You're using all of these systems. So the ability to come down softer, the ability to come down better aligned, stabilized, is something that we want to pay a big attention to. Also, again, in hashtag a sports parent, I have 8 different experts in nutrition. Again, youth sports safety. There's an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, all parts of the body, as well as mentally, these tremendous pressures with overzealous parents, overzealous coaches, sometimes inappropriate doctors, where we have constant overuse and overkill. So this is something we want to tell parents and coaches, you know, let's back off, stop overscheduling, and listen to your young athletes, asking them who's hurting, what the problem is, and paying attention. All right, everybody. Hey, it's the Sports Doctor. See you next week. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Steve Cashel, Dr. Brian Cole.